This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. We're glad you're in our audience. And if you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email me prayer requests from the email address in the website. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. So you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we have completed a series where we've been looking at the names and titles of the Lord Jesus, and it's been very instructive to see his character, to see the prophetic references, and to see the authority that he gives us when we do things in his name, that is, according to his authority. But today, now, I want to look at something that's been on my heart and is a little different. If you are listening to this on Labor Day weekend, which I think you will be, you'll probably be looking at the end of summer from the standpoint of our normal calendar and our normal vacations and the normal things that we do. School will be starting or has started. And it just seems to me like the summer went awfully fast. It wasn't that long ago that we were looking forward to spring. I don't know about you, but I still remember the polar vortex and the night that my car wouldn't start after staying in a motel because we were on our way home and didn't want to get caught in some bad drifts that night with the strong wind. And in the morning, the car would not start. Took us up until the middle of the summer to find out what that problem really was. And why it wouldn't start. It's a very simple connection problem, but it was hard to find. Now, at one time we used to talk about Alberta Clippers, but now we talk about polar vortexes. And it won't be long until we face that time of year again, but I don't want to think about going into winter so much as the fact that spring is coming. Not so much in a physical sense, but it's coming in a spiritual sense. And I want to read to you from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, when we come to springtime in our calendar, we know that we'll come to summer and ultimately fall and then winter. But at this springtime that we're reading about in the Song of Solomon, allegorically, is never going to end. The winter is over. In the winter, we have the barrenness of the trees, the plant life is dormant, we have snow. Many people enjoy the outdoors and the sports that are associated with snow, and they even enjoy the cold. But when it gets down to where we have a 50 mile an hour northwest wind with snow, I don't enjoy it. And most people that I know of are waiting for spring when that happens. And yet, while there might be things about winter that we enjoy, that's not where the life is. The life comes at springtime and in the summertime. And so when we get this picture of springtime, and when we find out that probably the bride is speaking to the bridegroom, there's differences of opinion on who's speaking to whom, but when we look at the bride speaking to the bridegroom and saying, "Spring has come, come with me and let us come away," apparently there are things that they can do and enjoy in the springtime that they couldn't enjoy during the winter. And I just want you to think about the springtime being associated with the day when the Lord comes. Now, we've often said on this program that we believe that the next event that will take place with regard to the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And then we believe that either shortly before or shortly after that, I personally believe it will be shortly after that, there will be a peace treaty signed with a man who claims to be a Christian. And he will be out of the Roman Empire. And he will give peace, or claim to be giving peace, to the people on this earth, but actually he's going to usher in a period of time that is going to be the worst winter this world has ever seen. There may be, if we understand it right, 3.5 years when there will be a time of false peace, a relative peace, but at the end of that 3.5 years there's going to be a tribulation like we've never seen before. And when we go down through Matthew 24, even during the early part of that 7-year period called the tribulation period, there's going to be wars and rumors of war. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be deception. Those things are going to be the signs of the times. Speaking of the next great event, when the Lord will descend in Revelation 19 on the white horse, judge the earth with regard to the way they have treated him and the way they have treated his people. And then he's going to set up a righteous kingdom. And that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. You might want to read that in Revelation 19, where he descends on the white horse, and on his thigh and on his vesture there's a name written. And he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the armies of heaven are behind him. I believe it will be at that time that Israel as a nation will finally acknowledge that they crucified their Messiah, and that in fact the one that they should have received is the one that they rejected. And the remnant that's left after all of the destruction that takes place during that tribulation period, the remnant that's left will end up being true believers, and they will be taken into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennial reign. And it will not only involve the Jewish believers, but it will involve Gentile believers that have endured to the end. They will be saved for the millennial kingdom. But for those of us that are living right now, many people are saying that the signs of the times are taking place already. Well, be careful with that, because we've found over the years that many people have looked at things that are taking place and have said, the Lord is going to come. Some of you are too young perhaps to remember this, but if you remember in 1988, there was a real zeal with regard to a book that had been published called 88 Reasons Why the Lord Would Come in 1988. The book was chronologically wrong. I went through the book or books that dealt with the issues in that book and found out that if their chronology had been right, and if they had actually followed their logic consistently, they would have had the Lord coming in 1945, not in 1988, but I won't go into that now. It's just that people are so wanting to have the Lord come that they will believe these prognosticators, who in fact are using the signs of the times to stir people up in a way that the Lord never intended, because we who are saved should not be looking for signs. We should be looking for the Lord. I'm sure that people would have thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. I'm sure that some people would have thought that Stalin or Lenin was the Antichrist. And I'm sure that if you had been a citizen of England, you might even have thought during the American Revolutionary War that George Washington was the Antichrist. We can make things fit, but yet I will tell you that things like the things that are predicted to happen during the tribulation period are happening today. We are seeing an increase in earthquakes. I don't believe they're the increase that we'll see during the tribulation period. We are seeing wars and rumors of war, but I don't think we're seeing them like we'll be seeing them during the tribulation period. These things make us yearn for the Lord's descent from heaven. These things make us yearn for the Lord's return, but I don't believe that they are the actual fulfillment of the very things that are predicted in particularly Matthew 24 and in other places. That's not to say that there aren't things that have been fulfilled in our day that are fulfillments of prophecy. For example, the Lord said in Matthew 24 that there would not be one stone left upon another of that temple. And in 70 AD, that happened when Titus destroyed it. But that was not the fulfillment of the signs of the times listed ultimately in Matthew 24. And people don't understand that we live in the day of grace, and the signs are for the Jews and are based on the Jewish land of Israel, and it's easy for us to get taken up with things and say, oh, the Lord's going to come tomorrow. There was a Harold Camping that did it. The 88 reasons why the Lord would come in 88 did it. But friend, what we need to understand is that the Lord has said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm reading from John 14 now. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that will be the springtime of the believer, but it will be the death knell for those who have rejected Christ. And so, friend, I hope that today you're ready for springtime, for the blessed hope, for the Lord to, when he descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, because the dead in Christ, those who have died before he comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, and these are promises of Scripture. Life on this earth is not always going to be like it is today, with evil men taking control and liars deceiving and corporations controlling the poor people and all that has gone on over the years. That's not always going to be that way. One day the Lord is going to set up a righteous kingdom, and he's going to rule righteously, and there's going to be peace in that kingdom. But today we can have that peace in our own hearts if we will just trust in the fact that we are sinners and the Lord did die for sinners. And if we believe that and trust that, we'll be ready for springtime when it comes. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for you to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy salvation. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.